Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Yes, and it is actually me that's here, Niall Boylan, thanks to AJ and Gary for looking after things for the last couple of weeks. And I'm sure you're all dying to know what happened. I'll tell you in a second. Tonight, by the way, we do want to talk about an interesting email we got. Is my boyfriend, or is my ex, should I say, wife, trying to sabotage my new relationship? Now, it's an email from a guy who's basically saying he wants to go away with his new girlfriend for the weekend, but it's the weekend that he normally would have the kids, and the wife is not willing to rearrange or do anything to help him, and he thinks basically she's just trying to sabotage the relationship. Also, by the way, is it hard to find good staff nowadays? I was talking to a friend of mine only recently, and he said he just cannot get staff. They just keep taking time off sick. Now, as you all know, I've been off sick, so I'm a bit of a hypocrite here, okay, for the last 2 weeks. But it's the first time I've been off sick since I started in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. I have never been off sick before. And it was a good reason I was off sick. I was in hospital. That was the reason I was sick. Now, so just to explain that, okay. So as you all know, I haven't been well. For weeks, I've been moaning and whining on the radio that I had the flu and I had an infection. I was back and forward to the doctor all the time. They thought it was a viral infection. And then on the last Thursday, you might have noticed that I was here. I finished up early because I had a massive temperature. And I noticed these purple spots all over my body, all over my legs, everywhere. And I got a bit of a fright, went into the house, rolled a glass on them. You know the way you're supposed to roll a glass on them? Rolled a glass on them. They didn't go away. Called the doctor. And the doctor basically told me that I need to go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital. I was admitted immediately. They did every test known to man, every viral screen. I've MRIs, scans, ultrasounds, everything, every blood test you can imagine. All come back negative. They went through the whole history of what I've been doing for the last 3 months, including when I was away, would I have got an insect bite. Turned out I had an infection in my blood. A really bad infection in my blood. And they said, they talked about, you know, your bloods are fine and, you know, but there's a marker seemingly in your blood for inflammation. And normally that marker is between 7 and 10. If you have the flu, it can go up to 20, 25. But my marker was up around 80. So there was a serious blood infection. So I spent a week and a half essentially on a drip of an antibiotic, you know, an antibiotic intravenously, and then sent home packing with a load of antibiotics and told I'm not going to feel well for at least another 2 months. So just get on with it, Boylan. So I still feel terrible, but hopefully feeling better. I mean, look, a little bit better every day. Maybe some days it's one step forward, two steps back, but thank God I didn't have meningitis because that's what I initially thought I had and that's what they thought I had as well. Anyway, that's my story. And just in case you were wondering, because some people are quite, what's the story, Boylan? He's just skipping off work, is he? Or what's the story with him anyway? Anyway, the first thing I want to talk about tonight is on Carda Síochána Conaill. Now, there was a story in the paper. By the way, can I just say, I missed a load of stuff while I was away. Some great topics. Of course, the government are fighting over who's going to see Donald Trump. And now, of course, Sinn Féin are saying, you know, that they're not going. Even though, but they said they won't go because of his position on Gaza, which is quite interesting because Michelle O'Neill was there last year when Joe Biden was there. And Joe Biden, of course, supplied weapons to carpet bomb Gaza. So that didn't seem to bother them last year. But I think what it really means is they don't want to have a picture taken with Donald Trump because it might affect their potential opportunity of getting elected as president. Because I have a feeling Michelle O'Neill is going to run for presidency of Ireland. So I think that's what that's probably all about more than anything else. Just my theory on it. The other thing as well, of course, Ireland, well, certainly Dublin has become quite violent over the last few weeks, and that's why we want to talk about the guards. Are we really that desperate to recruit more Gardaí that we're willing to lower the fitness standards just to get them in? And Garda Síochána has just announced changes to its entry-level fitness test as part of a push to encourage more people to join the force. The new physical competency test, which comes into effect immediately, still includes a beep test following an obstacle course, but some of the questioning if it's tough enough to reflect the real physical demands of the job. In the UK, their most senior officer, Bernard Hogan Howe, said that fat and unfit police must improve their physical condition or we haven't a job for them. In other words, get out if you're not going to be fit. He also said that UK fitness test standards were too low, but their test is still a higher standard than the new one here in Ireland. The candidates here now have just over 8 minutes to complete tasks like sprinting, lifting a car wheel, which is not a really big deal, is it? Pushing and pulling a sled, climbing a gate. But is this really enough to ensure recruits are fit for duty? I mean, this is just the latest move, I suppose, aim at boosting our guard in numbers. We have remained stubbornly at around 4,000 guards. Actually, that number is dropping because more are actually retiring, despite government pledges to increase the recruitment levels. Only last year, the force had a maximum entry age of 35, which was increased to 50 just to widen the pool of applicants. So what do you think? Are these sensible adjustments to help tackle a recruitment crisis? Or are we kind of lowering the bar way too far? Would you feel, you know, reassured knowing that the Garda responding to emergencies have actually passed this new kind of lower level test? Let me know what you think. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008 if you want to get involved. Or indeed, you can go to social media, Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits or on X at Classic Hits Radio. Now, let's go to some of our callers on this one. Let me just go, if I can, first to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you?
Hi, it's Carly Walls.
How are you, Dave?
Nice to see you're still in the land of living.
Just about, yeah. Actually, you know what the consultant said to me? If I didn't go to hospital when I did, he said it could have been fatal. That didn't sound too good.
Now, you see, at your age, you need to start looking after yourself a bit more.
Dave.
Now, if those cans are right, bullet in the head, give up the fags, a bit more exercise, you know?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not drinking Red Bull at the moment. I haven't drank a can of Red Bull in 2 days.
Really?
Yep.
You're getting a dose of the DTs off of it,
not? Yeah, no, I've decided not to drink Red Bull anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that an age thing or a health thing?
No, it's a health thing. Because it's, okay. Overdosing on caffeine. I was reading all about it. So, look, at the moment, the way I feel, anything that might help will be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know, but Jesus, nice to hear you didn't croak anyway.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, at least, you have me back again. That's the main thing. You're stuck with me now for a little bit longer, yeah.
Yeah, although, to be fair, if you do pop your cons in the morning, like, aging, slip right in there, no bother.
She will, yeah. I know, she'd just slip into your grave there.
Yeah, three weeks down the line, be like, Niall, you.
So, Dave, getting back to Garda Síochána. Have we lowered the standards too much? I mean, there was a time, of course, you had to be, 5'9" if you were a woman, 5'11" if you were a man to get into the guards. They got rid of that. You know, now they're dropping the fitness test. They dropped the age last year, brought it up to 50. It's like pensioners now can join the guards. You know what I mean? So, I mean, are we really lowering the bar too much?
Yeah, no, it's a bit much. Like, I remember I was at a gig one time. And do you know the way they have the drug squad?
Yeah.
And they go around and they randomly search people. You know, better come over to me and, chatting away, blah, 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 blah. Then pulls out the bag and says, I'm with the drug squad. I want to search it. Now, this fellow was shorter than me. I couldn't help but piss myself laughing. And I didn't mean to, look, I didn't care. I didn't have any drugs on me anyway, so it was grand. But I couldn't help but laugh. This guy was fucking tiny. He looks like the guard you bring along if you need to knock in someone's top window and shove them through the small one.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like if some 6 foot tall brick shithouse fella says, yeah, I have a kilo of cocaine in my back pocket. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Do you know? What's this fella going to do? Like, I'll bite your knees? No, we have. We let the standards fall. Like, I mean, I don't want Tig from Tubber Curry, who looks like he's ate too much bacon and cabbage, chasing after a bunch of yup bros. You know what I mean? I want someone like Jackie Chan. I want someone who's going to start hopping walls, hopping gates, start doing parkour just to scare the shite out of little fuckers.
Well, I mean, it is a job you're meant to be fit in because, as you rightly said, you're chasing criminals on a regular basis, I imagine. So it is a job that you have to be physically fit for. There was one of the protests there recently, I don't know where it was, and there was a line of guards with their kind of riot shields and what have you. And there was one guard kind of joined the thing, and he was about half the height of the rest of them. And it looked like one of the guards had brought his son to work. You know what I mean?
Osh, look, I have a friend. She's a prison officer, and we were watching some of that on the news. And she was screaming at the TV because, they train you, obviously in prison, like with the guards, like with the riot squad, you form a shield,
Yeah, human shield, yeah.
And she was roaring at the TV at how badly trained they were. You know, they're not equipped properly. They're not trained properly. There isn't enough of them. Like, who is the fucking genius that comes up with these ideas? Is nobody just saying, Nancy, here's a crazy idea. How will we take the starting salary of the guard and we double it? And then we provide them more resources, and we maybe have an armed unit in every town where they're, trained youth fire.
Yeah, so they have backup.
We don't have Eamon ringing his buddy in Tullamore saying, here, we're missing a few shields and riot helmets. Any chance you can spin up to Dublin there?
Yeah.
Because, those riots in Dublin really, really showed how, I'm not blaming the guards. I'm not. I'm blaming the organization.
It was bad form, in November 23 when guards were WhatsApping each other saying, you better get in here quick, it's a mess. You know, and instead of being organized in the first place, look, everybody knew something was going to happen that night. So they should have been on top of it. And that's, again, that's not their fault. That's an organisational problem.
Well, sure, it even came out that some of them, they didn't have enough room in the stations to store the riot gear, so they had to bring it home with them. Now, I don't doubt for that guard's kids, that must be fucking great crack. Like,
yeah.
But it's ridiculous. I mean, I saw two guards out walking the street in Tip Town one day, right? And if some little yuck bro, scummy little shit robbed the shop and started running out, these guards wouldn't be able to catch their breath, let alone these young... a guard has to have a commanding presence, you know, an air of authority about him. And I don't mean like you think he's going to crack your skull if you talk to him the wrong way. But if you're going to look at a guard and go, I'm not going to screw with that guy. Do you know what I mean? Not some fella who's like a Chief Wiggum lookalike or look like PC Pop.
Chief Wiggum.
You know, and I'm not... No, but genuinely, I'm not being overly...
I agree with you, because I've seen situations where, you know, two guards... One day I was walking through Temple Bar, there was two guards. Okay, there were two females, but they were very small. And I said, if something serious happens here, you know, they're not going to... I don't know, the two of them are experts in Taekwondo or something, I don't know. But both of them were about 5'3", 5'4".
Oh, trust me, I would mess with a male guard before I mess with a female guard. I saw a young fella trying it on with one of them after a teenage disco one night. And she made him look like...
Maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, lads are less likely to throw a punch at a female guard. They probably are, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not I wouldn't necessarily even bring gender into it as much, because like in the case of like a girl who may have been attacked or something, she might feel more comfortable talking to a female guard. So I can totally see, you know, why we need them. But I just...
No, I'm not suggesting we don't need them. Of course we do. We do need people who are physically fit and people who are... They have a level of authority. That's what you're right in saying that.
I mean, look, I'm a chunky monkey myself, right? And I've seen guards be like, Jesus Christ, I'm in better shape than you are. No, but like, it's for a lot of us too soft. But like, why do they keep doing this stuff? Like, we'll raise the age for someone to be a guard, or we'll lower the fitness thing, or we'll do this other thing, or we'll do this other thing. Instead of just saying, what's the starting salary for a guard? Shit, isn't it? Like
29,000, isn't it, or something? Yeah.
29,000. Why in the name of Jesus would you join the guard for 29 grand a year? And, like, I mean, you're more likely going to get posted to some shithole because, you know, you're fresh meat, which I don't necessarily disagree with that either. But at the same time, who's going to do that?
Yeah, but you're right. So let's say you're from Kerry and you get posted up to Dublin on 29 grand on your first year during training. I mean, where are you going to live? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Me bollocks.
Yeah, well, hang on. Stay there for a second, Dave. Let me just go to John. Sums it up, doesn't it? Yeah, John, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are things?
Good. John, I mean, have they dropped... dropping the fitness levels now. We dropped the age last year. We dropped the height a few years ago. We got rid of the Irish language. Now we're getting rid of the fitness levels. Is there a smell of desperation in all of this?
Well, in my opinion, Niall, I don't think anybody wants to be a guard right now. The reason why, no one respects the guards. The young people growing up has no respect for their parents, their mother, their father, their sister, their brother. They're growing up. I'll give you an example there. Straight out. My young fella was with me there about 6 months ago. And we were just driving. And I was just driving on the road and the blue lights came on. And the first thing my young fella did was pulled out his mobile phone to video card the guards. And I told him, put away that effing phone. And he put it away. But the guards were just stopping, doing their job, texting, insurance, drive on. I drove on, there was no issue. But it's, in my opinion, no one wants to be a guard because there's no respect, there's no law for the guards. Like, even look at the motorway there. If a guard follows someone down the motorway and if something happens to them, it's the guard's fault.
Yeah.
There's no law in my eyes anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we know of a case that's happening at the moment. It's their fault.
It's happening a good few times. Even if a guard goes to, say if there's trouble in the house, say with a couple, and you go in and you're there to start out, you're asked to get the phone call to a house where the partners are debating each other. And if you go in then, they're nearly turning the guards.
Yeah.
There's no law for the guards. And I can't. The reason why the guards are having trouble getting guards into the guard place is no one wants to be a guard anymore.
So there's no backup for them. There's no resources for them. Yeah, this is what Dave is saying. I mean, and by the way, the wages are awful. You know, now obviously yeah, if you're there a while, they're not too bad. Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, but look at the riots up in Dublin. Like, in fairness, look at the riots. Who's going to be a guard up in Dublin now?
Yeah.
Seriously, come on, no man.
No, I remember seeing that famous video of the poor guard on the bridge, and there was a load of them throwing things at him, and he was on his own. He'd been isolated from the group, and he was on his own. I felt so sorry for him, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like you just said there, like a guard going up from Kerry up to Dublin. He wouldn't want to go up. He wouldn't want to go up. In fairness, you have to. Like 99% of the guards are sound, and they're doing their job, and they just want to get on with it. And you do have the 1% that are corrupt, which is in every business.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
But outside of all that, the guards, they have no respect. It's young fellas growing up now. They have no respect for guards. They have no respect for no one now. They don't. Look what's going on up around the countries, even around, like, Kerry and all them places. They wouldn't be half as bad as Dublin. I understand that. But my point of view, you're going on about the health, the fitness with the guards and everything. They have to drop the fitness because no one is applying to be a guard. They don't want to be a guard, and you can't blame them. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but there's no point in having guards going around, as Dave rightly said, who can't even give chase to somebody because they're unfit.
I agree. Yeah, 110%. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, but it's like no one wants to be a guard no more. Right. Number one, the money is bad. But number two, the danger. No. It's too dangerous though for a guard, and they have no law. The law in this country is too soft. Like you see there, you people there with 50 previous convictions going into court, and they're just laughing at the judge, and they're laughing. That's not at all. The law has to start in the government. The law has to change.
I suppose if you're a guard and you're investigating a crime and you bring a guy to justice and you've spent months filling out paperwork and doing everything, you know, by the book, and then you bring him along to court to give your evidence, and then he smiles at you as the judge is giving him another 3 months suspended sentence. It's kind of, it's brutal, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's brutal. And yeah. Not a lot of that. But look at they're all getting free legal aid. Then look at the cost on that.
It's millions. Yeah, it's costing millions. Yeah.
But look at over in Russia. You wouldn't act a clown like that. Over in Russia, I'm just saying.
I understand people's opinion on free legal aid. But here's the thing. Everybody's entitled to a defence, and if you can't afford it, the state has to provide it, because some people can afford their own defence, some people can't. If we didn't have free legal aid, the rich would be getting off at crimes, the wealthy, and the poor wouldn't, because they wouldn't be able to defend themselves. They'd have to defend themselves in court. They wouldn't have a solicitor. So
yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
But do you think it's fair for someone to go in with 50 previous convictions?
No. If it was me, I'd throw away the key. Yeah, that's age, you know what I mean? But that's just me. I throw away the key. But, I mean, look, Dave does have a point, you know. I mean, we have too many guards like Chief Wiggum, as he says. You know, and in the UK, as I mentioned earlier on, a senior officer, Bernard Howe, said that fat or unfit guards won't have a job for long. In other words, you know, he was going to boot them out unless they physically got fit.
Yeah, I know.
And they have a higher fitness level than we have, by the way.
Right, okay.
So Dave, we have to go back to the original fitness level. Do we have to go back to the original age, by the way, Dave? Is 50 too old?
You know what? Like, I don't necessarily think having older guards, maybe not like, you know, high crime areas or beat areas, for like, if you could take the younger guards and put them where they're needed more, say like Dublin, Limerick, Cork, Galway, you know, areas where you see high crime, where you need somebody.
Yeah, but what's the point? I hate to be ageist here because I'm 61, but I hate to be ageist. What's the point in hiring a guard at 50 years of age?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if you think about it, instead of having some young buck who's in his prime where I live, where there's virtually no crime, you know, that's a waste. But if you have somebody who was a bit older, you know, you can use those older guards. Put them in the areas that don't have a lot of crime.
Yeah, but I mean, no. Hold on. Guards do get older anyway, right? So there's a lot of guards that are 50 years of age anyway because they've been 20 years in the job or whatever it happens to be. So, I mean, they're great guards because they have a huge amount of experience. They end up being detectives or whatever it is as well, or working drug squads or whatever it happens to be, or fraud or whatever it happens to be they work in. So they are great assets to a guard, but I'm talking about hiring somebody fresh, new, at 50 years of age. There doesn't seem to be much point to that.
No, I know that, but what I'm saying is, if just hypothetically speaking, if you did have interest from people of that age group, you could use them as like community guards in rural places, you know, like seaside places, like places where like the worst piece of crime that's been done all week is a seagull stole somebody's chips. You get me? Like, there's no reason why we need guards who can actually be, like, you know, tackling real proper crime in areas where there tends to be no crime.
Look, John makes a good point too in relation to his son, you know, wanting to video the guards and all that. When I was a kid, there was a lot of community guards around. There was guards on the beat all the time. We all knew their name. We all knew their names, and we were all frightened of them. When I say we had a healthy fear of them, which was a good thing. So when you seen them, you scarpered home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. There could be more guards on the street if you ask me. Instead of doing the paperwork inside the office, even I know a retired guard. He even said it to me. I won't say his name. But there should be more guards on the beat. That's what he said. It's patrolling the town, the city, more on it, rather than doing, like, if a guard arrests me, so how many hours of paperwork is he to do? Instead of doing that paperwork.
Yeah, but hang on, but John, with the greatest respect, and I'll say this to you, Dave, too. Many years ago, they tried this. They tried bringing in more civil servants to do the paperwork. And it was the guards themselves that objected to it. Because they felt, you know, they were kind of moving into their territory or something like that. I don't know what it was. But the guards, I think they brought them in on Harcourt Street. Maybe somebody might correct me on that. But I think they brought them into Harcourt Street and a few other places, or Phoenix Park maybe. And it was the guards themselves that didn't like the idea of it.
Yeah, but...
Because they were taking away the cosy number, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, but what would happen there is, say, for instance, if a guard arrested me, and if you were doing the paperwork, you'd probably be thrown out of court a lot quicker than... Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, you see, a lot of guards like to get a cozy job. Do you know what I mean? A nice desk job where they don't have to be out in the cold all the time. And, you know, I mean, it's like every other job. You know, people want to get the coziest job they can.
Yeah, but if you're dealing with, like... You do your years, too. You have to do your work on the floor first.
Yeah.
Then you walk up the ladder. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sorry, Dave. You want to say something quickly before the break there? I want to go to Jimmy as well.
I'm just saying, like, if you're dealing with, like, you know, junkies, scumbags, and little Canada Goose wearing little wankers all the time, like, you'd obviously want the cushy number every now and again as well. I don't think that's wrong with that.
Mm.
You know, and to be fair, like, if a guard is involved in a crime, that guard has to be the one to fill out the paperwork. Because, like that lad said there, it goes into court. If there's a discrepancy in what, say, the civil servant you're bringing in to do the job and the guard have written down, that'll be turned out by a solicitor or some scummy solicitor. We'll get somebody off on a technicality in regard to that. Like, the biggest problem is money. Like, the starting salary for any guard should be €50,000, and it goes up from there. That's the only way we're going to get people to join the guards.
Okay, well, hold on a second. I'm going to come to Jimmy after the break as well. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008 if you want to give us a call. We're asking you, lowering the standards, which they've done today again, by reducing the fitness level for the entry level to guards. Do you think this is a good thing, or are we kind of, does this whole thing kind of just smell of desperation? By the way, thank you for all the lovely messages of people saying that they're glad I'm feeling better and I'm back again. Somebody says, no, were you really in hospital? No, I just made that up. I just thought it would be fun to make that up. Now, see, Dave, some people did miss me, Dave, even though you didn't. Some did, you know what I mean? Anyway.
Never said I didn't miss you. Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay, let me go to Jimmy. Jimmy, hi, how are you?
Sorry, Nile, you were missed, all right.
Thanks.
Desperation, of course. For desperation for years gone.
Have they? Do you reckon they just can't get people to join.
Yeah, but like, it wasn't too long ago, once you joined the guards, you'd automatically get a mortgage. You know what I mean?
But they used to have their own, as far as I remember, they had their own car insurance company that they had to deal with. They had their own mortgage company they had to deal with. I remember all of that years ago.
But then in the last 20 years, 15 years maybe, you didn't have all these. You didn't have, there's loads of stuff you didn't have.
Mm.
And then, like, there's loads who left, who were only there for 5 years, and they're gone now, that this last 5 years, and they're leaving like hell now.
Yeah, they used to have I don't know whether they still have it up. They used to have their own health insurance. I know, because I had a member of the family who was a guard. They used to have their own health insurance as well.
I didn't know about that. It wouldn't surprise me. But, like, yeah, you see, anyway, just think about being fit. I remember like a while ago, like there was 3 or 4 in my town, a small town, there used to be 18 in it, now I think there's 12 or something. But like, I tell you now, you think you were in Alabama and you're looking only for the colour of the girls, you think they were the big mamas, like with the arses on them. Like, the ones who run across the road, in the rain to get the milk track.
In other words, you believe that they look unfit. I don't know about your description, but you believe they look unfit.
I'm talking about if I was a seat in a car. Or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So,
like,
but hold on. But here's the thing. A guard can join and be fit when he joins and then be and become unfit over time. That can happen too, you know.
What kind of a sergeant or what kind of a superintendent or whatever they are that does he have there? Like that, everything goes from the top down. It's up to the top to run the show.
Yeah, but who's going to say that? But here's, look, your man in England said it. The senior guard in England, our police officer in England said it. You're out of a job if you don't lose weight. But you tell me what superintendent or sergeant is going to say to a guard, Jays, you're putting on a bit of weight there. You better lose it or you'll be out of a job. They're not going to say that to them, are they? We're all politically correct in this country.
No, you see, they're not going to say it. But, well, no, I don't believe they're not going to say it. I believe there's a lot to say it.
Mm.
I believe there's a lot of lads that go that, like, no, it doesn't matter about the corruption that you in the station. It doesn't matter what, and if you want to keep yourself right, like, coming in here smelling and drinking on Monday, coming in here and this on Monday, coming in here in the shape, the size of you look. You know what I mean? And then you do get reared up on.
Yeah, so do you think Irish Garda Shea Conan generally are unfit? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
But that can be bullying, you see.
Jimmy, are you telling me you believe on Garda Shea Conan generally are unfit? Is that what you're telling me? Generally speaking,
no,
you believe?
Not at all. Most of them are fit as like you'd have them on Ironman. Most of them are 100% fit. But you see, a fit cop doesn't stand out, but an unfit cop does.
Yeah, well, this is it. Yeah, because he's the one who's rescuing you from the gang. Yeah.
Yeah, to do, and stupid cops stand out, and intelligent cops stand out too. Like, and then you see the sad part about it is I wouldn't mind a fitness thing. It's the brains that are joining is what I worry about.
And how do you get guards to join it? We're stuck at 14,000. We need 18,000. That's what they estimate we need with the current population of the country. But we're kind of stuck at 14. It keeps going down all the time.
Yeah, look, I agree with everyone there about the money, But I walk my dog sometimes late at night when I get home. No matter what time I get home, I have to bring just up the road about 8 or 9 houses for a walk. And here I was about 11:30 last month. And this van comes down with one, the headlights off, you know. Now, I was a van pulling up, you know, I just put a set guard on the side of it. So, okay, right, it's not anyone trying to rob it. But they just wound down the window and said, you're not from around here.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see, like, I'm over 60. And, like, you fucking hell. No manners in Templemore, huh? Or no manners in the station, or where are you from?
Well, hold on. Well, they were just doing their job.
Yeah, no, but yes, what you're doing when you're doing your job is, how are you doing there? Is everything all right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. So you think the attitude is wrong. Okay, all right, fair enough.
100%. But even walking down the town where I live, they don't even say hello to you. You have to go out of your way to get them to say, hello. You have to, I do that.
I mean, generally speaking, if I've ever been stopped by the guards in the car or whatever, they're generally polite and courteous, you know, even if they are going to do you for speeding. They generally are polite and courteous. I've only had one really very bad experience.
Excuse me.
It was a particularly bad experience.
But excuse me, I don't think too many guards are going to stop Noel Boylan and go, hey, you, like to talk to me. You see?
Mm. Yeah, well, they wouldn't know me when they stopped me. They might figure it out halfway through when they ask for your driver's license.
Yeah, they know you. I don't know, you've told to watch out for you.
It's him. Well, stay there for a second. Let me just stay there, please, John. And Dave, let me go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you doing?
Good evening, Niall.
How are you doing, Martin?
I'm well. Welcome back, first off.
Thank you very much indeed, Martin. I appreciate it.
Secondly, take care of yourself.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Don't start overdoing it. You're not the Superman you were in your 20s, no more than I am.
Yeah, Dave reminded me of that, by the way, already. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying you're the crap all. You know. I'd say as a benchmark, you'd certainly pass the Garda fitness test anyway.
I probably would, actually. Yeah, I wouldn't be too far off. At this moment in time, I wouldn't pass a fitness test for kindergartens.
But generally, anyway, for the subject in hand, I think, as I said in a text there, and I'm not disparaging all guards by any means. I know many of them. I have meet them on, you know, frequently to do my job. Okay. Some of them are very professional. But as I said, if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys.
Mm.
The first thing that should be done is to pay them properly. Secondly, train them properly. Thirdly, equip them properly. Now, I was in, where was I last week? I was somewhere in Cork. I can't even remember which town I was in Cork. But I went into a service station to get a cup of tea, and there were a couple of guards there, and they had these new caps. And one of them took off the cap and put it down on a kind of, you know, on a counter. And yeah, they were having a cup of tea, which we're entitled to. I'm not slagging them off.
After yeah, they could be on their break, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
But when he put the cap down, I could see. Now, I don't know whether it was just his or whether this is a general thing with them. The cap itself was just a cloth cap, this baseball cap.
Yeah.
Now, even in my job, I have one of those hats, but I also, on the inside of it, there's a liner, which is a hard...
I know what you mean, yeah.
Or carbon fiber or something, right? It's hard to protect my head. It's called a bump cap. Now, I don't know, was he just one that happened to have the wrong cap? I don't know, but if he's not, it'll just show you the stupidity of the people working in the Barrack Master's office that ordered this equipment. But apart from that, I guarantee you that the guards who are tasked with providing security, they're on a security detail for Micheál Martin or any minister, they will be absolute, you can be assured they will pass a fitness test and a firearms proficiency test. The rest of us, on the other hand, all those mere mortals, we can all go to hell. We're left to sort out our own problems, defend ourselves, our loved ones, our homes, our property. You could not make this up. I mean, only in Ireland would you get a situation where we don't have enough professional law enforcement. What do we do to actually, what is the
issue? Because look, here's the thing, Dave. Everybody has said pay them more money, right? Particularly, you know, for the first year. Look, when they're there 7 or 8 years, the money is fairly decent then. You get allowances and you get overtime and you all get all sorts of things, right? And it gets an awful lot better. But certainly for the first couple of years, it's pretty bad, right? So everybody agrees, pay them more money. Resources, everybody agrees, right? I mean, you ring up a Garda station and you say, my house has been broken into. Sorry, we've only got two cars and one of them is broke at the moment and the other one's out on a call. So that's unacceptable. That happens, by the way, in Swords, when I was living in Swords, which is a population of, I don't know, 200,000 people or something like that. They had two cars. Every guard, like in the US, every guard should have his own car. I mean, we just sent another 20 million to Ukraine. I'm not giving out about sending aid over to countries, by the way. I'm just saying we spent 20 million in Ukraine the other day, sent over another 20 million. How many cars, how many rises could that give to Garda Síochána to encourage more guards? Why aren't we spending the money? It's not like we don't have it. We have the money. So why aren't they spending it?
Well, the real problem is, Niall, and I really, I mean, I've met some atrocious guards in my life, and I've met some fantastic
absolutely,
guards.
Yeah.
Men and women who are absolutely dedicated.
Yep.
We've had guards who have given their life in service of the citizens of this country and of the country itself. I would never take away from the entire force. But the simple fact is that our politicians do not regard law and order in this country as being anything worth worrying about because it doesn't affect them.
But surely it does affect them, because Jim O'Callaghan, for example, obviously was Helen McEntee before that. Jim O'Callaghan is in the firing line again because of the events over the last couple of weeks of, you know, random people getting stabbed or murdered or whatever it happens to be. You know, I mean, Garda presence stops that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It affects them politically, but only until the next round of whatever the issue of the day is, when it hits the media, when it hits the papers and the radio and whatever happens. There's always going to be another story that will come along. What I'm saying is, on a real life basis, it doesn't really affect them, because I guarantee you, any minister, any TD, they pick up a phone. And no matter where they are in the country, no matter how remote, they will get the fastest response possible. Whereas you, I, or anyone else listening, any normal citizen listening to your program now, we don't get the fastest response possible because there's no real consequence. Nobody's held accountable. It's like everything in this country. Nobody's held accountable. We have a Garda commissioner who, in my opinion, is absolutely useless. In fact, he's worse than
useless. Well, it's not just your opinion. In the opinion of 98% of guards, they don't have faith in him.
Yeah. And so why is he still there?
No idea.
Well, that's, I mean, like, if you...
Yeah,
if
but
you
the Minister for Justice, Halle McEntee, said she had faith in him.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. She's an idiot. Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me at all. Either. Yeah, but
in fact, she's probably not an idiot. The fact is, she doesn't care. She'll just come out with something like that. It's a platitude. She'll come out and say she has faith in him. She thinks he's good. Because, as I said, she was the Minister for Justice. She had an armed guard with her at all times. When she got home, there's an armed guard, at least one armed guard, sitting outside her home, morning, noon, and night. And even when they retire, they will have that armed guard, morning, noon, and night, until their death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nub of the problem. That's the nub of the issue. And that therein lies the problem. We are regarded not even as second-class citizens. We're regarded as third-class citizens, where they, in the Dáil, they breathe that rarefied air that's available only to them. They get the services, they get the whole lot. So we have the same with our fire service. I mean, our fire service, the people, I don't know how people in the fire service go in every day and do the job they do, putting their life on the line constantly. And they get,
well, I know, I don't disagree with you, Martin. I wouldn't be a guard. I'm not the type of person who's willing to go out there, you know, and chase bad guys and take those kind of risks and risk my life for the life of others. And call me a coward if you want to, but that's not my place in life. But some people have a passion for doing that kind of stuff. And well, like just like people have a passion for being a nurse or a doctor or whatever it is, that's just the way it is. It's a vocation, isn't it? Dave, just before I go to Del Boy, Dave, you know, what Martin was saying about the money and what I said to Martin about the money, you were saying give them a rise, resource the guards, they should all have a car. You know, this idea of having two guard cars in one station for a massive population is pointless. Why aren't they spending the money? It's not like we don't have money. We've loads of money, plenty of it.
Well, do you know what? If we could step in the way back machine for a second, the recession back in 2008, I've kind of noticed myself, like at that time before, you know, during the Celtic Tiger years, there was a massive drive of let's better everybody's lives. Let's get all these social programs out there. We have all the money. The crash happened. We still haven't fully recovered from that. You know, it's almost like austerity has kind of like broke people to the point where we don't. It's not that we're not putting pressure on our elected representatives. There is no mechanism in which we can actually put the pressure on these people. I mean, you look at local elections, general elections, referendums. Look at the low voter turnout that we have and stuff like that. It's like a guard who's after pulling over Johnny Scumbag for the 50th time in a year. People have become apathetic because they realize we need to change these things. Like with the guards, it's not just pump money into a situation. Because look at the HSE. You can put an extra 10 billion euro a year into the HSE. And it's
there is obvious stuff that you could put money into. Now, let's be clear. I'm not talking about, you know, bike shed scenarios here, okay? But there's obvious stuff, you know, like cars. What do they drive now? Tuscans, isn't it? They drive, is it Kias, isn't it? Or what do they drive? Yeah,
they drive all kinds of things now.
I saw two carrots in a tiny little Toyota, not a Micra. Sugar. What's that? I can't think of it. It was a tiny little Toyota car.
Well, look, let's say on an average of 20 grand a car, right? Because I'm sure they get a deal buying a lot of them, right? I mean, and they don't have to pay the VAT on them. Obviously, that's all claimed back by the state. So here's not the thing. Sure. So why the hell are we not just funding that? You know, and I'm assuming it costs a few quid to kit each one of them out and spray them or paint them or wrap them or whatever they do with them.
Because the problems aren't, we could throw buckets of money at this, and you mentioned the bike sheds, right? Problem number one, that money will not get allocated and it will not get spent properly. Our problems with the guards aren't just the fact that they're under-resourced, underpaid, we don't have enough of them. The problem is, the entire force needs to be restructured. We've seen in the last 10 years, guards getting away with stuff because they have friends in high places. We've seen massive levels of corruption within the highest echelons of the force, which in turn has a negative impact on public opinion. It all needs to be restructured, but that needs to come from the politicians. But then if the politicians try to do anything, our bloated civil service will cause a problem. And then the money that we allocate and the resources that we try to allocate won't get to the people that it needs to get, because we all know this, heads. This country is not a meritocracy. This country runs on nepotism
and seek a century. If you want a good job in civil service or anywhere like that, it's not who you are. It's not what you are. It's who you are.
That's why, by the way, I have great admiration, and a lot of people I know don't agree with everything, and I don't agree with everything Donald Trump does, by the way. But this idea that Elon Musk had during the week where he sent an email to every member of the civil service and you had to respond to the email and tell them what you did last week, I thought was a fabulous idea. And if you don't respond, you lose your job. And the reason Donald Trump was talking about it today when he was questioned by the press, he said, because a lot of the jobs, he says, actually don't exist. He said, these people don't actually exist. Or he said, they're people that haven't worked in years, but they're still being paid. He said, the amount of fraud that's going on is unbelievable. People sitting around doing nothing and getting paid.
But our own civil service is just as bloated. And you've seen it when politicians actually do try to affect a small bit of change, and immediately the unions kick up a stink or the civil servants kick up a stink. I mean, it's well known, if you want a nice cushy number, join the civil service. Once you're there for 12, you know, over 12 months, get past your probation period, you're basically unfireable. It's like working for the HSC. I was talking to a nurse or whatever, and she was like, I could go in a burnout hospital, I'd probably still have my job. That's wrong. And that is a major roadblock.
No, and by the way, she is right, because I'm aware of a situation where a nurse, I can't go into the details of it too much, right? But it was a financial situation where there was fraud involved. And all that happened was slap on the wrist, don't do that again, and she moved to a different hospital.
Yeah. Whereas if I go into work in the morning and I break the €200,000 machine that I use every day due to my own stupidity and negligence, I don't even have to ask. I know I'm out the door.
To be fair, stay there for a second, Dave and Martin. Delboy, sorry for keeping you. I'll come to you straight after this short break. I want to know, by the way, when you see that the guards are now, I suppose, reducing the fitness level just to get more guards in the door, which I don't think is going to work, by the way. I think it'll make no difference whatsoever. Do you think there's a smell of desperation? All right, let's go to Delboy. Delboy, hi, how are you?
Oh, Jesus, hang on.
Sorry for keeping you. Sorry for keeping you so long.
Hey, Google, lower.
Can you talk to me and not talk to Google tonight? It'd be great. You know, if you could kind of just focus on me just for the moment.
I'm turning down my Google Radio thing.
your Google Radio.
Welcome back, mate.
Thanks very much, Delboy. Appreciate it.
So much has gone on in this conversation. It's changed and changed and changed. We're talking to the guard at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on to another angle.
Yeah, we start talking about civil servants in general. But in relation to Garda Síochána, how do you get more people to join the guards?
Oh, jeez. I was talking to your, what you call it?
Producer.
One of yours.
Yeah.
And I was on the Instagram tonight. I was watching on Instagram, and this thing came up about the guard introducing Islamics.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah. I've seen the video.
Yeah. You've seen it. And I'm okay with that. That's fine. Once they're good, once they're healthy.
Yeah, they were in a mosque recruiting people. I've seen the video, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Once they're healthy, I'm fine with that. Once they can run after after someone that has robbed somebody, that's fine. But they're so desperate. They are so desperate. That's frightening.
Well, they are doing recruitment drives all over the country in different places. I understand that.
Say that again, Niall.
Yeah, they are doing recruitment drives all over the country. You know, they're in kind of all sorts of places.
I know because
they are desperate. They are desperate.
They are so desperate.
We've established that. Okay. Well, we've established that they're desperate. We all know that at this stage. So how do you change that desperation? How do you fix that? How do you encourage people to want to join?
I mean, I'm 60. I'd love to join the guard.
Oh.
I can't run.
Yeah, but you won't be joining, Dad. So.
No. But my knowledge is good. My brain is good. You know, it put me in an office like a new computer shit. But they're so desperate. That's so sad. It really is.
Okay. And does it make you feel less safe when there's less guards?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that, Delboy. Appreciate it. Martin, I don't know whether you personally or Dave feel less safe in this country. Do you feel less safe because there's less guards per head of population?
I don't know that I
feel personally less safe, but I think society in general is less safe. I mean, I can only think back to when I was in my teens and I was actually planning, I wanted to become a guard. And the one thing that let me down, even though I didn't have my leaving cert at the time, I wanted to become a guard. But when I spoke to the section sergeant in the local station, which the man I had a great relationship with, he was telling me, Martin, your eyesight is just not up to it. They won't have you, no matter what else. And I wanted to get into the technical division.
You probably get in now with your eyesight.
But that's the point I was just about to make. I know a guard, and she is far lampier than I am, and my eyes are 65 years old. I think she's about 28. And she's far lampier than I am, and yet she's a guard. The standards have been dropping continuously. Yeah. I don't think it's good enough to reform. I think what needs to happen is we need to disband the guards as they are and set up an entirely new force, as was done. The RUC was disbanded. The PSNI was set up. The only thing people carried, as far as I can remember, was their pension and their rank. All the rules can be changed. I mean, people say, oh, well, you know, how could we get a new police force? We had to set up a police force in this country when we were established as separate from the Brits. I can't remember the name of the first Garda Commissioner. I would have been able to remember it. It was earlier in the day. I've been out since 4 o'clock.
I like the American system, which is, you know, you have the county police. You have the sheriff's office, you have the FBI, the CIA, so the state police, and then you have the troopers who look after everything on the road. So you've separate sections who work completely separately to each other, but then obviously join forces, you know, if it's a national crime. So
I don't know that we'd necessarily be a big enough population.
No, I'm not saying that, but I do believe that keeping traffic separate
there should be a separate traffic division under one superintendent. Under one commissioner, a separate transport police under another commissioner, you know, just for transport, just for rail, for buses, for everything that people have to travel on. There should be a completely separate transport police and a separate traffic police that can't be called in because they're a different force. They can't be called in just because there's something happening, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think both of you are right. I think we need a whole new system. Hang on. I just want to bring Jude in before the break. Jude, hi, how are you?
How are you? Very interesting conversation this evening, Nigel.
Jude, what do we need to do?
Like the last man said, I think we need to disband the lot and start again. And I'm going to get into trouble for saying this. And who ran the Garda Síochána before this man? And who ran it before that? And who's running it now? And how much did he get from the Irish taxpayer because he was sacked? What did he do before he came to Ireland? The same thing as Catherine Sapone when she came into this country, parachuted in. Our government is controlled by certain individuals. And I'm going to say the word out, and I don't give a shit to them because they're all going to hell. I know you don't have a faith. The Freemasons are running the Irish Guard, the Síochána, the Navy and the Army. They're running it into the ground to bring in the private police force. I know people
at home are going, oh, here we go. I'm only saying there's a lot of people, you know,
we'll talk.
Hang on. Just Martin wants to challenge that fact that you just said that. Go ahead, Martin.
No, hang on.
Just one at a time. One at a time.
I'm not going to challenge it. There's a very good reason why the Grand Lodge of Freemasons is only a stone's throw
away from Dáil Éireann.
Yeah, it's literally across the road from Buswell's Hotel.
Literally across the road. And I have had, in my previous job, I had many occasions to be in the Grand Lodge of Freemasons.
I was there one night. I was there at a book lodge.
And I have seen people who were being signed in as guests. I've seen people who were being signed in as guests by people who were signing them in, which means that they had to be a Mason. I've seen politicians, I've seen people from the media, I would never challenge that. I absolutely agree. I think there's an outside influence in this country that is pernicious I think it's
But hold on, I could say that about everything. I mean, every law, with respect, every law that's brought in this country comes from Europe. So there's outside influences on everything in this country. And let's be clear about it, lads. We all know the answer to this. Follow the money. So Jude, whatever about the reasons why you believe it's falling apart at the seams.
Yeah, listen to me. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose.
I don't think anyone wants to destroy the Garda Síochána on purpose.
Can you stop talking and giving your opinion? I welcome you back and fair play to you. I'm sick for the last 3 months myself.
Sorry.
Do you know where doctors' mistakes are?
No.
In the graveyard.
Yeah, absolutely. What do they say? Doctors differ, patients die.
Can you not cut me off again? I really appreciate it.
Go on. I've got a minute and a half. Go on. I won't cut you off again.
Minute and a half. My God, you had the whole... You shut the station down last week or a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about property in the Cayman Islands and the Anspecker's account and all the people invested in Dáil Éireann and the High Civil Service. Mm. The rank officers and people on the ground and the lower ranks are fine. They won't get promoted. They're being demoted, and they have no. They go out, see accidents. They're 25% of our Garda Síochána are traumatically stressed of what they're being put through. They have no counselling. They have no aftercare. They can't even come on your show tonight and talk. I'm telling them, set up a new Garda Síochána and get rid of the English influence here. And if you want to see Europe, have a look at the German roots of the EU. Before World War II, German roots of the EU. And we need to really start taking our country back. The men of Ireland have to stand up and grow balls again because their wives have castrated them all. And it's the same way in the world.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I think, you know, particularly when we look at the political class in this country, they're too soft, way too soft.
Okay, we'll get back to the politicians of Dáil Éireann. What type of carpet are they walking on in the Senate and in the Senate? What colour is the carpet?
I couldn't tell you.
The allegiance to the Queen of England are
purple, is it?
They never left this country. They went undercover, and there was a promise made to the foundation of the state. You can have a 26 state republic under two conditions. My grandmother told me this, and she was born in 1899, up in Belfast. And she put her hand on the Titanic at 13 years of age, and they were arrested and thrown in prison for 24 hours for molesting the ship.
Oh,
and there were three ships built for the price of one, like the two towers built for the price of one. But when they came down, they were claimed as two different accidents, double the insurance, 12 billion instead of 6 billion. It was the same with the Titanic.
I know all about the insurance scam with White Star Lines.
Yeah, but have a look at the Titanic and ask yourself, why did that submarine implode?
Okay, we've got off on a tangent, and I've now got 30. I've still got the same 30 seconds. I'm gone way over time now. I'm in trouble now.
It's all in to you. You shouldn't be in trouble, Rocky. You came close to death. You're lucky you didn't have a near-death experience. and they're there too, Niall.
I'm going to have to cut you short.
I have to go back to the Garda Síochána. I'll go back to the Garda Síochána.
Well, Jude, I tell you what. Can I get them to ring you back after the break and bring you back on for about a couple of minutes after the break? Because I don't want to cut you short.
You might have to shut the radio station down again and repeat for another hour like the last time.
Okay, listen, I have to go to the news. Dave, thank you very much indeed. Martin, thank you. Jude, and thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate it. It was interesting to actually listen to you talk about your grandmother and the Titanic. I'll bring you on another night to talk about that. Arrested and put in jail for 24 hours for touching and assaulting a ship. There you go. Thank you very much indeed. Now, after the break, by the way, I do want to move on. And it's a very interesting story, by the way.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.